I've told this story in the past, and I like telling it at Christmas time, so if you've heard this before, just bear with me. If you haven't heard this before, this is something new about Christmas. Many years ago, when I lived in Connecticut, I had the opportunity to share Christmas with a priest from Uganda in Africa. Yes, there are Orthodox priests all over the world. This priest was born and raised in Uganda. He had a different color of skin than everybody else. So I'm kind of surprised my parents were that we've never seen someone of that culture serve the liturgy. But anyway, Father Close and I were friends, and when I found out that he didn't have anywhere to go for Christmas that year, I said, come have Christmas with us in Connecticut. So I went to pick up Father Costa on December the 23rd from the seminary, where he was still a student, and I went into his dorm room and found that he didn't have anything in his dorm room. And I said, Father Costa, where's all your stuff? He said, well, all my stuff got stolen when I was on the plane over to the United States. My bags disappeared and I don't have anything. In fact, for a month I didn't have any other clothes until someone told me that I smelled bad, and I told him these were the only clothes I had, and he washed them, and someone gave me more clothes. So I said, do you have a Bible? You are a priest after all. He said, no, I go to the library to read the Bible. So I called Lisa and I said, I want to take Father Costa to the mall and buy him some things. Everybody needs to have some things. So we're going to spend a few $100 to buy Father Costa some Christmas presents. So I took him to the mall on December 23rd. And Father Costa was amazed. He said, the only store I've been in my whole life in America is CVS. Never been into a mall before. And we went into Sears, and he said, well, Father, there's 100 TVs on the wall. I don't think I've seen 100 TVs in my whole life. And then he said, can we sit and watch people for a little while? This is very interesting to me. He said, they're all stressed out. I mean, Christmas is in 2 days. Why does everyone look like they're stressed out? I said, well, you see, Father Costa, a big part of Christmas in America is buying gifts. People spend months and months trying to find the perfect gift, maxing out their credit cards, worrying if they will get the right thing, and we have only one day left of this spectacle. So they are concerned. They are stressed. So then we went into a store, and I bought Father a watch. He said, do they just sell watches here? I said, yes, that's all they sell here. They just sell watches here, and the next store just sells shoes, and the next store just sells wallets. So we went to every store, we bought him all the things that he needed. I tried to explain Santa Claus to him. That was interesting. Anyway, we went to my house in Connecticut and celebrated beautiful Christmas services, and we went to exchange gifts. And I said, Father, I bought something for you, a black sweater. I mean, when you're trying to buy it for a priest, you never go wrong with a black article of clothing. And I said, don't worry, if it doesn't fit you, we'll give it back. He says, no, Father, you gave me this gift, I will cherish it forever, even if it doesn't fit. And then we tried to make our phone calls, and we called our family. Back in California and in Hawaii. And we said, Father Costa, is there anybody you would like to call? And he said, well, I don't know if my parents are alive or dead because some terrorist group went into our village and kind of took everything apart there. So he made several phone calls, and sometime later he got there in the living room and he was crying. And we said, what's wrong, Father? And he said, I have great joy. I spoke to my parents. I thought that they were dead. This is the best Christmas present ever. So we enjoyed a beautiful Christmas day together. We went out and looked at Christmas lights. He said, we don't have electricity in my village except for the church, and I really like these Christmas lights. So we bought him a bunch of Christmas lights after Christmas, and he took them back to the church, to his church in his little village in Uganda, and he put them around the altar, and he put them on the epitaphio on Good Friday, because he just loved Christmas lights. So that year, Christmas happened to be on a Saturday. So we celebrated services Friday night, Saturday morning, and Sunday morning we got in the church, in the car to go to church, and on the main street of my town it was bumper to bumper traffic. Father Costa said to me, what great Christians you have here in Connecticut. They went to church on Friday night, they went to church on Saturday morning, and they can't wait to go again on Sunday morning. I said, Father Costa, the church will be empty today. He goes, where are all these people going? 8 in the morning. I said, they're all going back to the mall to take back their gifts. And he said, well, wait a minute, you told me that people spend months and months and months trying to get this gift thing right, and now only hours after opening the gifts, people are taking them back to the store. I said, yes, that's how we do it here. So that afternoon, we went out for a walk around my neighborhood, and one of my neighbors was throwing his Christmas tree out the day after Christmas. And Father Costa went up to him and said, Merry Christmas. And the guy looks at him and said, Christmas is over. And he says, no, I fasted for 40 days. I'm ready to celebrate Christmas for 12 days. And I said, don't waste any more time here. They don't get us. Anyway, I recall this story every year at Christmas time. And I'm listening to some of the Christmas carols on the radio. And as I said in a previous sermon, if you take the words of a song, instead of singing them, you say them, you start seeing how silly they are. Like that beautiful Pearl Ives tune, "Have a Holly Jolly Christmas," and in case you didn't hear, "Oh my God, have a Holly Jolly Christmas this year." I mean, that guy made millions on that song. His lyrics are ridiculously simple. But there's another song called "Happy Christmas," for those who are Beatles fans. And John Lennon sings, "So this is Christmas, and what have you done?" And I'm thinking, what have we done to Christmas? We've made it all about commercials and shopping and trees and anything but the birth of Christ. So what I want to talk about right briefly this morning, now that I've gotten your attention, is the subject of gifts. Christmas has become about exchanging gifts. I give to you, you give to me, and we hope we got it right and don't break the bank. And somewhere in all of this, Christ sort of got lost. But the gift giving is actually an appropriate theme for the season. Because the theme of Christmas is God's gift to us. God giving a gift to us. And what is the gift that God gave to us at Christmas? What did he give us? He sent his only son into the world. And what did we get from him? Didn't get anything material from him. We got all the things that money cannot buy. We got forgiveness. We got salvation. And we got hope. And because we have those things, we got joy. These are the gifts that God gave to us. That's his gift exchange with us. Now, If we participate in a gift exchange, there has to be an exchanging of gifts. So there are three parties at Christmas. There's God, there's me, and there's you. So we have a three-way exchange. God gave this stuff to me, and God gave this stuff to you. And if God gave me hope, and gave me forgiveness, and gave me salvation, and gave me joy, I'm supposed to share that with you, and you're supposed to share that with me. So if you're looking to buy a gift for someone this Christmas, don't think about the material gifts that you'll find in the mall. Think about the gifts that money cannot buy, and exchange those things. Exchange forgiveness with somebody. Exchange joy with someone. Say to someone, "It really means a lot that you're in my life. What a great gift that is." Exchange letters with somebody. Exchange phone calls with someone. Exchange a visit with someone. Exchange hope with someone who is down on their luck. These are the things that we should be exchanging among ourselves. Now, what about God? He's part of the gift exchange. What are we supposed to give God this Christmas? There are three gifts we're supposed to give God this Christmas. Anyone want to venture what they are? They're in a prayer for the end of the liturgy. Three things we're supposed to give God. Anyone want to venture a guess? Thanks. That's one of them. What else? We have a prayer we offer every liturgy. It talks about gifts. And it says, "For every good and perfect gift that's from above, coming down from you, the Father of lights, and to you we send up glory, thanksgiving, and worship." Those are the three gifts we're supposed to give God. Glory and thanksgiving and worship. Not just on Christmas, but every day. And so how do you give God glory and thanksgiving and worship? We give God glory by using the talents he gave us to glorify him. We don't just use our talents for material gain. Yes, we do use them for that. Thank God I have some talent of some kind that allows me to be your priest and make a salary. But it's got to be more than that. This talent to be a priest, or your talent to be a teacher, or your talent to be a mom, or your talent to be a lawyer, or whatever it is your talent is, That afternoon is to give glory to God. The second gift, thanksgiving, is a sense of gratitude that anything that I have is good and from God. It's not just for me. It's not just an ego exercise. I went to college. I'm smart. I studied. But it came from something greater than me. And because I have gratitude and not greed, I'm not going to be coveting what other people have. And I'm not going to be gossiping about other people. I'm going to thank God for whatever it is that I have. And I've been sharing with some people, and I've sat down with many people in confession the last couple of weeks, that I've changed my thinking in my 40s so that the first five things I think of every day are thankful things. I used to get up and curse the alarm clock, I confess, for many years. 6 o'clock already. You know, I'm sure many people wake up like that. I used to wake up like that. Now I wake up, I open my eyes, the first thing I say is, thank God, but I open my eyes, I'm still alive. The second thing I do is I turn my head to my left, I see my beautiful wife laying next to me, and I say, thank you, God, for her. And then I think of my son down the hall, and I say, thank you, God, for him. And then I look up at the ceiling over my bed, and I say, thank you, God, because there's a roof over my head. And as I wake up and get out of bed, I don't start cursing the day and all the things I don't want to do. I say, thank you, God, that I've got a place to go today. I've got people to meet, I've got things to do, and I've got a talent to do them with. So five thankful thoughts before I even hit the floor every day. And the third thing we're supposed to give to God is worship. And worship has to be offered to somebody who's greater than you. We don't worship those that are less than us. We worship the one that is greater than us. So if we have an understanding that God is greater than us, then that means that He is the source and the center and the destination of everything, not us. That's what worship is. That's why we come every Sunday to worship. To realign ourselves and our thinking that as we turn the page on a new calendar week, the first thing we want to do is offer glory to God and acknowledge that He is the source, the center, and the destination of where we're going. Can you imagine if we didn't do this? We would get so lost and confused about what we're supposed to be doing, we would never find our way. So that's what worship is. So there are three things that we should be offering to Christ this Christmas: glory and thanksgiving and worship. But here's the thing. Christmas is not just one day a year. We don't just exchange gifts with God one day a year. He doesn't just exchange gifts with us one day a year. Thank God. Christmas is every day. Every day God gives us hope and forgiveness and joy and talent. And every day we're supposed to give Him glory and thanksgiving and worship. That's why we offer this prayer every liturgy instead of just on Christmas. So the feast of Christmas itself, why one day? This is the day that we are celebrating the incarnation of God in the flesh, one of His gifts to us. And on January 6th, we'll celebrate the gift of His theophany. And in the spring, we'll celebrate the gift of His anastasy, His resurrection. But this week, we are celebrating the gift of His incarnation. So amidst all the gift-giving and tree-trimming and cooking and all the crazy things that we're doing, we need to pause and we need to think. The Creator, the Almighty God, came to the creation to live with us, to give us hope, to give us peace, to show us the way. This is what this feast day is all about. Now, if you permit me, I was sent the other day by a friend of mine an excerpt from a book that's a children's book. And the whole children's book is 400 words long. And so with your indulgence, I'd like to just leave this book to you. And you can just imagine the scenery. It's a children's book. It's called Song of the Stars. And it's about Christmas. It's about the innocent view of Christmas that little children have. Not the five-year-olds that go to Santa with a long list and say, this is what I want. The little ones, like 1 to 2 years old, that are more enamored with the wrapping paper and the lights. Right? This is Christmas. The world is about to change forever. And it almost went by unnoticed. But the leaves that night rustled in a rumor. News rang out across the open fields. The song drifted over the hills. The wind whispered softly in the sycamore trees that waved their moonlit branches to the sky. A barn owl took flight. Woodland creatures stirred. It's time. the pine woods, two deer raise their heads. A big brown bear sniff the air. A red fox darted. The faces of little flowers lifted to the skies. It's time. It's time. The sky shouted into the seas that thundered into the waves that roared the great white whales that sang into the starfish of the deep. The tiny sandpipers danced it on shining sands. It's time. It's time. The running rivers bound over boulders, and the otters clapped and played and sang to the ducklings that splashed and quacked to the salmon that leaped to leap. Tiny field mice, insects, and little creeping things, and sparrows and robins, and every single blade of grass squeaked and hummed and chirped and sang, it's time, it's time. Wild stallions drummed to the ground. Get ready, be glad, be glad. On a lonely peak, a lion raised his strong head and roared it out to the empty wilderness. The mighty king, prince of peace. All the stars joined together in a chorus that rang out through the heavens, the bright and morning star. And on a hillside overlooking the little town, sheep nuzzled their new lambs, the good shepherd. Suddenly angels lit up the whole sky, and a great choir sang it out loud, it's time, he's come, at last he's here. And in the little town, in a little shed, in a little window, a candle flickered in the dark. And a tiny cry rang out in the cold night air. And high above, a single star set in the highest heavens shone out brighter than all the others and poured down silver onto the little shed, a light to light up the whole world. The animals stood around its bed, and the whole earth and all the stars and sky held its breath. The one who made us has come to live with us. And a young mother with no place to rest, nowhere to stay, kept it as a song inside her heart, our rescuer. And they gazed in wonder at God's great gift, lying on a bed of straw wrapped in rags, a tiny little baby, heaven's son sleeping under the stars that he made. I'm not going to wish you to have a holly jolly Christmas, but rather a blessed and meaningful one. Merry Christmas.